Hey folks, we're back. It's a goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans, episode 77.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans, episode 77. We're so happy to have a very special guest in the house, Tracy Birch, coastal planner, which is a subset, I guess, of an urban planner who works for Louisiana State University. We're going to talk tonight about a fundraiser that Tracy and our illustrious co-host, Jeff DeVille, have co-planned together and will be executing next week for a very
this week.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we'll get into all those details. And so psyched to have you on, Tracy.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
Just a couple of housekeeping things. It cooled off.
Yeah, it sure did.
And the sky got pretty. So that's nice.
Till tomorrow.
I mean, this is a good segue. You guys have been training on your bikes.
Let's address the 800-pound gorilla in the room here.
Which is?
Okay. The campaign is over, ladies and gentlemen. This is our first post JJ for DD, Joel Jackson for District D, New Orleans City Council campaign. I just want to say this, that yesterday there was a report. Look, just Joel got 15% of the vote. As expected, we didn't expect Joel to win. I don't think that we expected a full 15% of the vote. You predicted somewhere between 2.5 and 22.5.
That's right.
And the mid ground between those two numbers is 12.5. So you beat that by 2.5 points, man. That's pretty good.
You exceeded expectations,
and that's good. But I want to put a pin on it by saying this, that yesterday there was a report that came out that Frank Scurlock, who was apparently caught masturbating in the back of an Uber in California, who was himself also running for city council.
For mayor,
that's right. and who couldn't get his name off the ballot before it went to the election.
It
turned out that he spent more money than any other mayoral candidate in the race. He garnered somewhere about 350 votes.
348
votes.
348 votes. And they calculated the per vote cost that he spent on each vote, and it came out to like $950 or something along those lines.
It was something. I think it was the most expensive campaign ever.
They
not
said
just mayor, but like
ever.
Money per vote
money
garnered.
Per vote garnered.
Per
most
vote
ever.
Garnered.
What might be up for the lowest?
The Joel Jackson for District D campaign. Because, folks, let me tell you something. This was a campaign of ultra efficiency from that standpoint. Joel Jackson.
Which means I barely tried.
Per vote garnered. Per vote garnered. Joel Jackson, who got an astounding 2,402 votes.
Thank you, everyone. Seriously.
For each vote garnered, spent 42 cents.
Yep.
That's right.
42 cents for suck it, Frank.
I mean, you bested Frank Scurlock by
$953.58, if I'm doing that.
Something like that, yeah. Right, exactly. Well
off the
done.
Top of my head.
Well done. Well done. Okay, round of applause for Joel, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, thanks to everyone for your support. Jeff, head mensch, chief strategist, this was a team effort, you know that? I mean, it was seriously, it's like simpatico, this wasn't my thing, it was our thing, and I hope moving forward it'll continue to be. So it was fun, and I'm going to be breaking some news probably soon in terms of just like what next steps are, in terms of where this sort of journey has taken me and where it's going to continue to take us, me or whatever.
Some suggestion, so, if I could already.
I'm excited.
Can I bring up some of the things that we talked about today?
Oh, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So you were approached by one of the, by the Fairgrounds Triangle president, Morgan
right.
Clevenger.
That's right.
Who, I mean, ostensibly they say that we live in that neighborhood, but those neighborhood designations
doesn't really exist.
Our neighborhood. They're created by real estate concerns, and we're supposedly in that neighborhood. Right. But anyway, you know, the ink is barely dry on the election, and you got approached about whether or not you were going to possibly put together a bid for Helena Moreno's state seat that she will be vacating since she won the at-large councilperson.
To which I responded, pass, hard, pass.
Did you say that to her?
No, I was just, the narrative of my campaign has been and will continue to be that you should be able to be a city councilperson and be a community activist without being a politician. So it doesn't make sense for me to, like, quote unquote, go into politics. You know what I mean? In 4 years, I'll very likely run again, depending on. Look, we'll have some. I'm not even ready to talk about what's next. I'm close to being ready to talk about it, and it'll happen soon. But mostly, this is the last time I'm going to talk about this campaign. This last campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
This campaign is over.
It's over.
We are moving the F on.
Have you gotten any calls from any of the mayoral candidates hoping that you would get behind their campaign at this point?
Not yet.
Not yet. I think that's probably going to happen at some point.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on to that election, to trying to increase voter turnout in that general election. I want to help with that if I can in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what that looks like yet. But yeah, man, JJ for DD is gone. It's over. You'll never hear me say JJ for DD again, except I do have a bunch of old business cards I'll probably use again.
No, we're going to hear you say it in 4 years. That's what's going to happen.
It's changing, Jeff.
What's changing?
You got to change it up. You can't get stuck.
What is changing? What do you mean? You're not going to run for city council in 4 years?
Nope. No, I am. I am. But the brand, it's going to be # JJ for DD forever.
You should do the best DD ever had.
Did you come up with this yourself?
No, It's a work in progress. Folks, I'm working on a new # brand. Okay? I'm not quite ready to unveil what's. And then I also came up with this number. I got 2,000.
Can I make a recommendation? Is to stay away from slogans that Paraguayan dictators might use?
But Jennifer Lastra.
Forever. # me forever.
How
about the best D you ever had?
What about 2402? Wait. 240 Tord? That's fucking lame. It reads nicely. It reads nicely, but it doesn't. Okay, JJ for DD it is, folks. Whatever 4 years plus 2017 is, whatever that math is.
21.
JJ for DD 21.
I'm going to be running District D again. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, I'm going to work with the advocacy groups that I came across during the election process that I've talked about a lot on this podcast, including urban planning and environmental issues, criminal justice reform. And as I've pledged to the folks who did come out and vote for me, which I was kind of honestly shocked by the number of folks, and across the swath of the entire district, not just localized in my neighborhood, in our neighborhood, based on the data that I'm hearing about, at least. I'm just thankful, to everybody that voted for me, I want you to know that I'm going to be actually ready and prepared next time. Not that I wasn't this time. I don't mean to be. I just, I had a message, but no, and the policy thing. If I would have had this election would have taken place 4 weeks from now, I would have done better.
But Joel, I mean,
just the clock ran out as I was getting up to speed on policy. And whatnot. What I mean?
It's just like we talked about, man. It's not necessarily the case that it was clear from a lot of the forums that you were a part of that policy a mastery of policy is not necessarily
It is not a requirement for running for office.
At all, you know,
from the highest levels of government,
from the highest
all
levels,
the way down,
from the highest, from the highest office in the land to the lowliest, it is not required.
That's true.
Exactly. I mean, we're going to have a coroner who is what a
convicted felon,
a convicted felon, and also some sort of doctor, right?
Like an eye doctor.
He's like an eye doctor. He's going to be the coroner.
He's a doctor of, yeah.
Like, we have a criminal eye doctor as the coroner now.
He's a doctor of advising. Right.
You know, the coroner is the person that has you committed to an insane asylum?
Yes.
Oh, that's
scary.
Great. That's
scary. No, the coroner has a big role in mental health issues, and that is fucking scary. And JJ for DD wants to change a bunch of that shit from the state. I want to... Look,
we're gonna hear about it again.
No, this is the last thing I'm gonna say. The other reason, just to put a pin on it, and when I was asked about possibly running for that state seat, it's not. There's two reasons I would never, ever do it. One is because I want to live in New Orleans every single day, and then B. And I mean it when I think a community person should be able to be a city council person, but then B. I think I want to advocate for New Orleans to wrest a lot of legislative control from the state, you know, and I want to do that from here, not from there.
Well, and so what we had talked about is that there are, like, for instance, you could say that LaToya Cantrell comes from a quote unquote community organizing background.
Right.
But via neighborhood group, neighborhood organizations.
Right.
But as you noted during your campaign, that there's this burgeoning movement that's afoot in New Orleans of all these other organizations that are doing grassroots organizing on a pan-city level, not on a hyper-specific neighborhood level.
That's right.
And that are doing great work. And
incredible work, incredible fundraising.
And I feel like that's where that's kind of like right in your wheelhouse, you know.
Yep.
And we don't have anybody and have not had anybody yet elected from that movement at all. Not from the NIMBY movement or the real estate people.
That's right.
Or the lawyers or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I that kind of feel like that's maybe what you're getting at there.
That's where I think I'm going to end up landing, yeah.
Right.
It's only been broadcasting. It's only been a few hours. Yeah, someone said you have to do a TV show. I'm like, what?
How much do you think Helena Moreno knew when she decided to run for state office? You know, coming out of broadcasting, I can tell you like
42 cents per.
That's all I'll say about that.
But look, I appreciate you bringing it up. I didn't think we were going to talk about it tonight. I really didn't. I thought we were going to move on, but thank you.
And we have to talk,
Jeff,
about it, man. It's, you know.
Spencer, thanks for tolerating it. Mm-hmm. Tracy, thank you for letting us hijack the first part of the show.
I got something for you right now. Okay, so it's JJ4DD. You take the four. You're going to call Cousin Andy, and this will be your interim logo, right? So it'll be four, right, plus comma to the top 17. Equals comment to the top 21.
Okay.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
we'll suss it out. It
sounds like a serial number.
Folks, just so you know, it's not that I'm going to stay up the next couple of nights thinking about the hashtag. I'm going to stay up the next couple of nights thinking about the NGO that I want to start. That's based on the campaign issues or the issues in our community that I learned about while running. And so that's... Spoiler alert, that's what I'm going to do. But I want to just suss that out a little bit in my head. I mean, I have, you know, it's Sunday after the, or Monday after the election. I'm fried. I still have the day job.
You're walking with a cane.
I'm walking with a cane. People don't even know that I wasn't able to go door to door the way that I wanted to because of a health issue. And I'm not going to talk, that's it. I'm not talking about that anymore again, ever. But I'm encouraged by the fact that I would have gotten twice the votes, I think, if I would have been able to actually execute the strategy that we had, you know, in terms of the door-to-door thing.
Yeah, I think you would have fared better,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that would have happened. It's hard to beat an incumbent candidate who has the second most money out of anyone. It just is.
Hustler, I mean, what do you think? Strip club.
know, right. exactly.
That's where the funny thing
$215,000 to $1,000.
The funny thing is, he gets his money. And look, folks, the campaign's over. And everyone knows I ran paperless. I ran no negativity. The fucking gloves are off now, bitch. I'm just saying.
All right. You heard it.
If you get all your money from strip clubs in the French Quarter and then you spend it all and strip clubs in District D, I don't know. Do the math. Connect the dots, people. I don't know. I mean, that's all I'll say about that for now.
Okay, so we can segue. Now we can segue. And we can talk about the fact that Tracy and I are riding our bikes the entire length of the Natchez Trace, which is a national scenic parkway that runs the length of from Natchez, Mississippi to Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to start in Nashville, and we're going to ride for 8 days, a certain number of miles that's pre-planned every day. So far,
how many miles each day?
Like we know how many miles we're doing.
Schedule.
There's a schedule. We have reservations. There's the whole nine yards.
What kind of accommodation? I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on. I would just finish this, man. Sorry. We are. Initially, we were going to raise money for Parkinson's Foundation, but when Hurricane Harvey hit, we decided to change that and to donate to the Houston Food Bank.
Raising money for the Houston Food Bank.
That's right, exactly. And we know, folks, that there have been an inordinate number of disasters, both natural and man-made, that have happened since then. But the people of Houston still need our help. And our goal is $5,000. We're teetering on the brink of $2,000, having raised $2,000 so far. And we're looking to close that gap between now and the end of the ride.
Hopefully by the end of the ride, definitely by the end of the year.
That's right, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so what was your question?
Well, first of all, the Houston Food Bank is, tell us about that a little bit.
So the Houston Food Bank is the largest food bank in the Houston, in the state of Texas, which makes it one of the largest food banks in the country. Uh-huh. Before Hurricane Harvey, they'd already distributed about, I believe, something close to 800. It seems hard to believe. 2016, 2017, 800 million?
It's an amazing,
unbelievable number of meals. Yeah. You know, it's for school kids. It's for the entire population, which Houston is currently likely the third largest city in the United States.
Yep.
The sheer volume that they did before that is amazing, and we know that they're going to be double that in meals because they say that 85% of the people who flooded in Houston had no flood insurance.
Yeah.
So what is the thing that you have to skimp on if you are trying to save your money to rebuild your house? And that's probably a 3 square meals for sure.
That's right.
I mean, if there was an obesity problem in Houston, people are going to lose weight. You know, this is one thing I can say from the Katrina experience is that like finding food just in general after these floods happen, it's difficult. You know, it is because all these unanticipated things occur. Including like road infrastructure and people being able to get in and out of places and easy access, ease of access, et cetera, et cetera. So it becomes very important for these third party non-governmental organizations to provide, to fill in the gaps where the government can't. And if there was any time in our history where the government can't or won't, it's going to be right now. So, that's what we're trying to do. And in doing that, Tracy found this great online service organization that allows you to set up these kinds of events and makes it really easy for people to donate. They charge a small fee, But the rest of the money goes directly to the Houston Food Bank. And you know that it's getting to them. And this is also the product of doing some research about the organizations in the Houston area that are effectively delivering services to people, because that's become a huge issue as well, whether or not, you know, you're going to give. Look, every organization has to spend a certain portion of its budget on administration and execution and all the things that are needed.
Marketing
and things of that nature. So, I mean, there are people out there who have an unreasonable expectation about a quote-unquote fantasy of 100% of dollars getting there. But there are certain organizations who are highly inefficient in terms of that and are very top-heavy. And those are the organizations that you don't want to donate to. You want to donate to organizations that that are far less top-heavy, that have a higher percentage of your donating dollar that reaches the people in need, and the Houston Food Bank is one of those organizations.
For every dollar donated to the Houston Food Bank, they can provide three meals.
Right.
They have such buying power.
Wow, that efficient.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
It's
on
really...
On the buying power, I see what you're saying.
That's right.
Yes. So it's like an economy of scale thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sheer, yeah, and so... And you always want to donate to reputable organizations, preferably ones that are established. And, you know, the reality is it's always better to give them money because then they can buy exactly what they need.
Well, exactly, as opposed to giving them
canned goods or things like that that they can't, they end up not being able to use. So.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I always say this, keep the French fried potatoes in a can. Just keep that in your cupboard.
Keep that for...
The French fried
French fried onions from the green bean casserole.
The French fried onions and the cream corn. Just please keep that in your cupboard, man. Don't donate that.
Actually, don't buy it in the first place.
Don't buy it in the first place. Whatever you do. So we're gonna start on we're leaving on Friday, and what we're doing is we're driving up to Nashville. And then we're dropping off the car. We got a place in Nashville. And then we're riding to the Trace.
We have a place in East Nashville, actually. So East Nashville, for those who've been, is a great neighborhood. Got lots of, there's a lot going on. You can kind of stay and hang out and walk around and restaurants, bars, that kind
of thing. So you're going to have a little bit of a chill time before you go. Like a night?
I don't know if it's going to be so chill.
I plan on making it at least a little chill.
A little
but
chill.
But there will
a
be little chill. You can't start out hungover. That
you can't. That's start
no, of course. Yeah.
What's
of course.
Our first day? 54 miles, I think. Right. I think our first
maybe
day,
50. Yeah, 54.
So we're going from Nashville. The first stop is in a place called Hohenwald, I think.
Hohenwald, Tennessee.
Hohenwald, Tennessee. Yeah, that's right.
We're staying in a barn.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
This is fully like Airbnb. There's a few hotels, some of them of higher caliber than others.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we only have bikes.
Right.
So everything has to be like within a realistic distance of the Natchez Trace.
Like we're having a really hard time. Do we have the Cherokee thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, good. So there's this tiny town called Cherokee, Alabama, which happens to be just up the road.
30 miles
up the road from Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Wow.
Where all these
famous recordings
took place. Mm-hmm. And Muscle Shoals and the adjacent city across the river,
Florence
had, you know, there is a tourism industry there because of that. And so there's all kinds of hotels and everything, right? But the Natchez Trace is like 30 miles away. And the ride before that is like, what are we doing that day? 60 miles or something like that?
And then the next day is... something like 80 miles. So jeez. If you add that on,
so
it's like 30 miles.
30 more miles. Like it might, people would be like, oh, just, you know, buck up and do it. You know, it becomes like hell on earth, you know?
Yeah.
So I
those
think
those people should have to get on the bike and ride with us if that's what they want to say.
Exactly. So, who knows what's going to happen? Hopefully we'll be able to get a ride into town or something like that. You know, who knows? Maybe there's an Uber driver or somebody.
Or we'll be eating Fig Newtons and shot blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the barn.
We've planned, like, there's so much planning. Like, Joel, you're going to see, like, in the next couple of days, a bunch of deliveries are coming to the door. And it's, like, bike shorts and freaking shirts and stuff and all kinds of...
Gold Bond?
No, it's this stuff called Body Glide.
Body Glide.
Ooh.
Body Glide. Like, you rub it all over around your genitals.
It's industrial strength Vaseline.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was telling you, you're going to need to Vaseline your taint, Jeff.
I know, we talked about this. This is what
Did you talk about it incessantly?
Well, this is what I've read about biking distance. You gotta Vaseline your taint.
Exactly. Two times already. Two times. Tracy is so tired of hearing, you got a Vaseline your taint. Protect the taint.
At all costs. Hey, everybody, real quick for a sponsor break. It's goodlifepave.com. Jeff and Jones Tells from New Orleans, proudly sponsored by Taint Vaseline.
Body Glide. We're going to get Body Glide to be our sponsor.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's just said.
So
we're getting two Body Glides because we've already had that discussion. We're not sharing.
Yeah, you don't share a Body Glide.
No, but that was a conversation. I was like, hey, do you have the Body Glide? She's like, yeah, I think I have some. I was like, it's not really okay for us to share that. You know, no good.
Definitely not.
Right.
Clearly not.
I might need to get a little gold bond, as a matter of fact, man.
Throw that on top of the Body Glide.
Well, yeah, I do it after. Yeah.
Ew.
After
it's gonna
night.
Be like buttercream frosting. No, don't do that. It's disgusting.
I'm not doing that. Tracy said that.
Excellent, Tracy. Excellent call. But the after a shower, when you have the opportunity to take one, and when you bed down at night, that's when you're gonna want the gold bond to put it. You know, like do the gold bond for your sleep.
This is amongst. To tingle your taint,
everybody. Gold Bond sponsor of itsagoodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel.
No, that's like six, seven, eight times. Yeah, right, exactly.
Taint.
Yep, so that's what we're doing. We're going in a variety of different little towns along the way, variety of different distances. I'm going to be looking forward to that day when there's like the 34-mile ride.
Yeah, we
that's going to be nice.
34 miles to 80 miles.
Yeah.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, exactly. And then the second to last night is going to be in Jackson, Mississippi, mm-hmm. right? So that's going to be, we're going to have a good time at Jackson, fun. Mississippi.
We're going to, we have Jackson.
Yeah.
We'll keep going. So Hohenwald, we have Cherokee.
Now, is it Cherokee the second one?
Yeah.
It is, okay.
Because there's only one night in Alabama.
Hohenwald.
So Tennessee, Alabama.
Cherokee. There's only one night in Alabama. Okay. Hohenwald, Cherokee. What's the next one? Tupelo?
Tupelo.
The next one after that is Houston?
Or Kosciuszko. How do you say that?
I think it's Houston, Kosciuszko, Jackson,
Port Gibson,
and then we're back. And we're not spending the night in Natchez. We're just getting in the car and coming back.
What's food look like along the way? Like, what are you doing for food?
Well, so there's a range of things.
It's a good question.
Because you're going to be hungry. You're going to burn some calories.
Oh, my God. We're going to burn so many freaking calories, man. It's unreal.
Everywhere we stop at night, we can, like, there's somewhere you can go to get something to eat. Like,
yeah.
And so the half of the places we're staying, we'll stay in more bed and breakfasts on this trip than I have in my entire life. Because of the breakfast component.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Just because that sets
you
up.
What was the town? It was Houston was the town that I made the reservation for. Was it Houston or Kosciuszko, I think? It was one of those two.
It may have been Houston, and we're staying at the B&B.
Yeah, we're staying at the B&B.
Real Southern breakfast. And I was like, that's worth the extra money.
That's great, but I will warn Jeff.
Darling, I want to tell you something. We have a big, because I told her, I was like, you know, we're riding the Trish Sock. Honey, we have a big, big breakfast that we serve to you in the morning. You are going to be so happy. And I was like, fucking A.
Massachusetts.
I didn't want to say fucking A.
Because she was too nice.
She was too southern and genteel.
Calling the woman to bed and breakfast on the puppet show, you know? Remember that one?
Yes.
It's like that. It's like, anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Hello. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into it. But everyone check it out. It's really funny. Dave Chappelle prank calls. Crank anchors.
Crank anchors.
It's bed and breakfast. Google it. It's amazing. It'll make you laugh for like an hour and a half after you've stopped watching it. So, look, I will say this about the breakfast call is that carb load is my suggestion, and I would stay away from the greasy proteins because that's bad for the taint, the bacons.
Huh.
Why?
Why?
Bacon's bad.
I mean, it's only bad for the taint if you have leakage.
Then you get a little oil and you see the more
wait,
oil,
what leakage
the more,
would you have on your taint?
Well, no, because, you see, I don't think Tracy understands what a taint is on
no,
a
I
man.
Understand.
The male taint part.
Yeah, everyone knows about the landing strip, Joel.
No, but the taint... When you eat the animal fat, you get the extra little, you get that little oil on you. You heard?
Yeah.
And it's not good oil for the taint.
That's not good oil for the taint.
I thought any oil would be good.
I don't think, nope. I think that's the least of
there's,
our problems.
There's bad oil.
Well, listen, I think it is too, and I just want to say this.
It's bad oil for the taint.
Can I tell you, when you ride this much in a day, like we have two stretches that are almost 80 miles, when you do that much riding in one day, you're like, I don't give a flying fuck what is in front of me right now. I am going to eat it, and I'm going to eat a lot of it. So if there's a giant slab of bacon in front of me, it is getting consumed. It's going to happen.
If all my friends from college who I've reconnected with through this campaign, which has been lovely, but they're, you know, college dudes, if we were doing it, if the whole group was doing it together, they would call it the Natchez Taint.
Sorry. Also, it would take 27 days to go.
And it wouldn't be completed.
No. Joel Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. We have a new segment called Joel Jackson's Jokes. Spencer's like rolling his eyes.
Exactly.
He's like, leave the jokes to me,
Jackson. Chime up more. You got a microphone, Brad.
So what else do we have to say about this? I'm looking forward to it from the standpoint of it being such an incredible adventure.
It's supposed to be totally beautiful, and it's going to be a great adventure. It's like we've been talking about it because we've done these training rides. We should probably talk about the training rides a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Exactly.
And the training.
Yeah, because of the heat.
But we've been doing these training rides, but you kind of... We talked about this. You get out there and you're like, let's go. We got to hurry up. Because you don't want it to take your entire day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're like, let's try and knock 70 miles out as fast as possible. And we were doing it in August in New Orleans. And there were moments. That
yeah, there were. There were some moments.
There were some meltdown moments.
Some MDMs. Yeah, I admit I had a meltdown.
There was an MDM.
I had a meltdown at one point. Yeah.
Wait, two meltdowns. Two meltdowns.
When did I have a
gentlemen.
Second meltdown? When did that happen?
The weekend before the big meltdown.
Huh, I did?
You had a little mini meltdown?
You had a mini.
I might have had a mini meltdown.
It was a precursor because in the big meltdown was a reference to the mini meltdown from the weekend before.
Oh.
Yeah. I see.
All right, well. The heat got to me.
You had the self-referential mini meltdown. Moment, meltdown moment.
The heat got to me.
That ride deserved a meltdown. It really did.
We if any ride that we've ever done deserved a meltdown, and we still haven't found, and I have to tell you this, that I found the name of that civic center that saved our lives. Right? Okay. I'll give you the story. Tracy was like, look, let's go down to Plaquemines Parish. And
East Bank,
and we're gonna ride on the river road all the way to the end of the earth. And when I say that, I mean that literally, because there is no more road in the state of Louisiana south of on the East Bank of the Mississippi River south of where we went. We literally went to the end of the as far as you can go
on the East Bank of the Mississippi River
of the Mississippi River in the United States. It's as far as you can go on a road. And we went down there, and we turned around, and we came back, right? And there was exactly zero shade the entire ride. And this is about 60 miles, I want to say, maybe a little bit
maybe
more.
Maybe a little more.
And it was hot as... Yeah. I mean, it was just so...
Excruciatingly
hot. And the other thing is that we thought that being there, there would be some services.
There are towns on the map. If you look at the map, there are towns on the map.
And ice.
Well, at least like a convenience store.
A drop of water.
Or a drop of water or something like that, right? So we have a grand total of three water bottles with us.
Oh, dude, and they're hot as fuck.
and they start getting hot. They're insulated, but that doesn't last long in that heat, you know? And so anyway, we make it to the end just fine. We decide to come back on this road that's just on the other side, that's parallel, and, you know, just to kind of change things up, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing on this road. There's a levee to the right, and there's nothing on the left. And it's just brutal-ass heat. And so we ride a little bit. Both of us are kind of, like, I think inwardly freaking out a little bit about the fact that our water is starting to run out.
I had about an inch of hot water in my bottle.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of
like, probably, at some point are you like, okay, at what point do I lose my... Okay, am I being rational about this maybe being dangerous, or...
Well, no, it's that you start looking at people's houses. Like, is there a hose outside? I'll just fill a bottle up.
Seriously.
Like, you're just trying to figure out where to find water.
Seriously, yeah. Like, all the way at the end of the road, there was like a fire hydrant that was, like, pumping water out, but we were like, there's no way we're drinking that water. That's going to be
no fucking... idea what's
going on there. Yeah, that's, like, gray water, for crying out loud. So, no. And so we're riding back, and the water's running out, and we reach this... We're like, let's take a left... go back to the original road that we were on and head up. And we're just going and going and
there,
going.
And I saw a community center that's about 25 feet up in the air.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, there's like a community center built on, you know, on stilts. And it's like up in the air. And we were like, let's try and stop at that community center and see if there's something, any kind of way that we can get some water, blah, blah, blah. And there just happened to be these people that were there having like a barbecue.
And they were setting up for a barbecue.
And there was like a swimming pool, which I wish was open and we could have just jumped into right there. That would have been great. But they were setting up for this barbecue, and this hero...
She was an angel.
She was an angel from heaven. Was like, why don't I... She's like, I work here, and I have the keys for the building, and I can let you in. And, like, we get in, and it's, like, this cold, frosty AC.
And she was like, I have an ice machine. Would you like ice?
I have an ice machine. It was, like, really, it was, like, being saved.
Remarkable.
And so we...
The only reason
so we filled up on the water.
Hug her is because I was so sweaty and disgusting that it was just for her own sake that I didn't do it.
So what about the meltdown, Jeff?
Yeah, so it's still
back to the meltdown.
Back to the point.
It still was just a brutal ride after that, and then here's the thing: is that I had just had an accident on the bike
a couple days before that.
A couple of days before that. All right, so my arm was like just racked with, you know, like scabs and whatnot, and what touched it off was that everything was like kind of smooth and everything. I had wrecked on one of these glops of concrete that was left behind by like a construction crew and not chipped off the road. I hit it and I went off the bike at night, stupidly, because we were going to go get some beers and watch football. And anyway, that was my idea. So we were like conversing or something.
You used to internalize.
And then I almost hit one of these things, and I was like, God damn it, man, I almost hit the fucking thing.
I almost wrecked again.
I just look away for 1 second, and I fucking, it was just the heat causing that, and I was just fucking,
I love
Tracy's like, what? And I'm like, I don't know, son is beating down on me.
He says, I told you. I didn't want to do these things, and you got started late. And I was like,
oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
It went there.
Because she's hot, too.
Because it was so pleasant for
me. Then Tracy was like, she was like, well, I don't care, die. She's like, and I was like, I deserve that.
My favorite part.
I did not. I said, are you really, really my fault? Okay, fine. And I just got on my bike and I rode away.
And then we were,
and I was like,
we were
riding. You're on your own now.
We were fight riding. You know, where she was like, She was like 30 yards ahead of me. Right. You know, we're having a fight run.
And those like passive aggressive moments, and they were outright like a tolerance towards one another.
I was like, you don't get to draft behind me. It doesn't get any easier for you. I'm not making this any easier for you. So
we went a bit further. And then we were riding closer at that point, and I was like, I just gotta take a break. And we take a break, and I'm like, oh God. And I'm so sorry. I'm an asshole. Sorry.
And we were like, we stopped under a big tree, and then we were like, a mile away from the end.
It was like a mile away from the end.
Right. But when you have...
Because we're like, we don't know where the fuck we're at. Plus,
I know.
No, you knew that we were close, but it was like, could have been 2, 3, whatever. It was like a mile away. Anyway.
You can't help where you melt down, bro.
Exactly.
Oh, the melt.
Exactly.
I love the fact that your internal meltdown voice sounds like Bill Clinton. I don't know if you rewind 2 minutes.
Yeah, rewind back to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna listen.
I'm just. The good Bill Clinton. You just did it. It's great.
Yeah.
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 But that was the only. I mean, there were some other excruciating rides, but that was the only real, like, serious meltdown.
Well, you know, like scraping 10 or 15 feet across the pavement wasn't so fun at the end of that ride.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't, true. I mean, but that's, I didn't do that.
You did, exactly. I'm not. Exactly.
I didn't have that. Like,
that wasn't part of my answer.
Yep. But yeah. We got to see, how many rides have we done? 26?
27 rides, nice. So far. Yeah, we'll probably do one, maybe two more before we leave. And I don't know. I mean, I averaged, it's probably 1,000 miles worth of training or something like that. Maybe a little bit more, you know?
Can you guys, not that I'm trying to wrap this up by any shape or form, but can you guys, while I'm thinking about it, give a shout out? Well, A, where do people find you to donate?
Okay, so we have a Facebook page that's called Wheels for Meals, Jeff and Tracy's Ride.
Ride for Harvey Relief or something.
Ride for Harvey, yeah. But Wheels for Meals, Jeff and Tracy's. Yeah,
you guys make fun of my slogans. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Anyway, so there's a donate button there on Facebook. That's the principal way that we're doing it. And that takes you to the...
CrowdRise is the name of the site.
Exactly. So you go to CrowdRise, and it'll take you right to the donation page.
Sweet.
Right? So you just pull out your credit card, however it is that you want to pay, and they'll charge you. Like, it's really a nominal fee. It's not much at all. And that's how they keep themselves in business.
Okay.
And then the rest of the money goes directly to the Houston Food Bank, period.
So the money does not go to your bank account into theirs, which is great, which is perfect.
And you donate, you directly get the, you get all your tax receipts and everything right there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They send that to you, right, exactly. So
cool.
It's all taken care of, it's all automated.
If you Google like CrowdRise, or it's just the best way to do is Facebook and donate.
Well, the Facebook you can check out.
You can go to the CrowdRise site if you're using a browser.
Because, folks, you might, if you're using a browser, you might want to check out what other places are in CrowdRise. Too, just to see what kind of good work they're doing.
They're doing good work, but just donate to us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Forget about those other ones.
Then, are there any particular people that you guys want to thank that have been support? Maybe it's too many to name, but or
yeah. So I mean, certainly want to thank my folks who gave a large donation to us, and everybody else that's donated so far, and everybody who is thinking about donating as well, and hopefully you will. You'll go to the site and click donate, and let's not forget about the people in Houston despite all the other things that have happened along the way. I would say in particular for the people in New Orleans that is particularly resonant given the fact that Houston has a history of being there for people from New Orleans when New Orleanians have to evacuate.
And there's probably a lot of people who were impacted by Harvey that were also impacted by Katrina and moved to Houston.
That's right.
I mean, there's
right.
a lot of folks that that moved. Yep. So, but we have family, friends that have donated. We have
Good.
Many.
All kinds of people. And a few people that we don't know that well that just were like, wow, that's really cool.
Amsterdam Paul?
Yeah, yeah, could Phil. Be. Yeah.
Phil.
Phil. Amsterdam Phil, sorry, if you're listening, sorry, you can donate from all the way in the Netherlands.
Why you got me here. Thank you.
Well, no. Man, best of luck to you guys. Are there any? I mean, of course, in my mind, the thing is like, be safe. That's have fun, but I hope you guys are safe out
well,
there.
Well, listen, let me just address that, all right? Yeah. If I can, right? Not to. There was an unfortunate road rage incident that happened on the Natchez Trace earlier this year that got some garnered national coverage. And I mean, maybe as an ancillary thing, that's something. And I mean, Tracy's a planner, you know, so these kinds of things factor into things that you do on occasion, and they impact our lives as well. I mean, you know me, Joel. I'm on the bicycle what every day,
yep,
practically. Yeah. And so anyway, it was clear from this video that a person had that this individual was. Intentionally hit by a motorist who was then subsequently arrested and is being prosecuted good. Right now. That being said, that is way more, that's not the norm from what I understand on the Natchez Trace. The federal government of the United States, so you can understand where your tax dollars go. This national Heritage Parkway, I think is what it's called, is one of, there's a few in the country, but this is the only one that is tailor-made specifically so that it's bike friendly. And then there's signage all along the way telling people in automobiles that they have to yield the right of way for cyclists right. on the Natchez Trace. It's also a low volume thoroughfare.
There aren't a lot of entrances and exits.
Good.
Right, so it doesn't.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
It's not.
So your head's not on a swivel the whole time. You can actually chill for a second.
Totally, totally, exactly.
Or zen out or whatever.
Yeah, so you have a lot of cyclists. You have a lot of motorcyclists who do the length of the trace.
That's right. There's a lot of people who use the trace for exactly what we're doing right now. And there's a lot of touring. There's people who go
Well, we got the idea
camping
from,
and stuff on their bicycles.
We went in April, went to Natchez, and we were there for a night. And then in the morning we got up to get coffee. And there was a group of people. It was somebody's 70th birthday. Is that right? Remember the group? And they were getting ready to leave that day.
And they were like, and we were like, what's going on? And they were like, we're going to bike the Natchez Trace.
And I was like, if they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Love it.
Yeah. So that was the genesis of the idea. And then we went on the trace for a minute, and we visited one of the Indian mounds up there.
Uh-huh.
This gigantic Indian mound. And apparently all along the way,
there are all kinds of
scenic things that you can see along the way. You know, Wheeler was talking about it and talking it up. So we're looking forward to all that stuff. And one of the things that we've experienced on these rides has been this wealth and abundance of wildlife that we've witnessed along the way. We've seen birds.
We saw an eagle yesterday.
We saw an eagle in New Orleans yesterday.
Wow.
On a lamppost going down Wisner.
Wow.
We got a photo of that. We saw a little blue heron.
Which was amazing.
Which was unbelievable.
I've never seen one.
Neither one of us had ever seen before. It was a blue bird that was on the other side of the levee when we rode out to St.
Dark
Rose.
Blue, almost black.
And Tracy spotted it, and she was like, "What is that?" And then we circled back, tried to get a photo of it, and it flew off, and it was entirely blue. And it was fascinating.
Coyotes.
And then we saw a coyote when we were riding one day. It was kind of nuts on the other side of the levee, like just out in Jefferson.
Right and what? There. Deers and snakes.
Deer, snakes, all kinds of stuff. So we're looking forward to that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. Are you gonna do social media documentation and posting along the way?
Yes, I'm gonna.
Will be, and there might be some whiny videos at the end of the day and everything. It's gonna be great.
I'm gonna try because I have. If you look behind you right there, Spence, you see that rubbery thing that's on the handlebars right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's for holding the iPhone. So I'm going to try and make some short videos, right? But here's the thing, dude. So we're most of the time we're going to get up, we're going to be done. Okay, so an 80-mile ride takes what? I mean, it's going to
take us about most
of the day, 6 hours.
Six. That's the longest day.
That's the longest day, right? So that's 6 hours. So that's going to take somewhere between 7 and 8 hours to get it all the way finished.
Sure.
Because we're going to have stop and eat lunch and do all this kind of stuff. And so, but here's the thing. We'll be done most days by the time the podcast goes off. So we're going to have to do a We Call You.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Like, so this Monday coming up, We're gonna have to do that.
Okay.
So mark it on your calendars, folks. We're gonna do the Call You.
We'll call in from Cherokee, Alabama. And
we're gonna call in from Cherokee, Alabama.
Let's get Perez in on your seat, maybe.
Right.
For the Call
maybe
You.
We'll be visiting Muscle Shoals. You know when that happens. Yeah, let's get Perez in. I ran into him last night, as a matter of fact. So,
okay.
Yeah. So Perez, shout out to you if you're listening to the podcast. We're trying to get you on Monday.
Producer.
This Monday coming up. Yeah. Substitute. No.
Well, no. I'm sorry. Executive. Sorry. Audio engineer.
Co-host.
Yes.
Yeah. You need somebody to throw to, right, when you can't order to keep the show going.
Clearly.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Tate.
All right. So we're at about 50 minutes right now. And what else we got? We got any other shout-outs now? Your campaign is done, Joel, so you got nothing.
What about Spencer?
I got nothing.
You're not doing any stand-up again?
I'll see when I'm free this week. Still waiting on my work schedule.
Why are you so half-baked about this, man? We need to get you out there. And your jokes are funny. I believe in you, Spencer.
I do too.
We need to get you out there. We need to get this jumpstart this career.
We'll work on it.
I do have one thank you, because I think I've thanked everybody along the way on the campaign, on this pod or elsewhere, on Facebook or whatever. But I want to thank Dan Weiner, who came in at the last minute as the pinch hitting venue for the election party. So thank you to Dan. That was really super sweet, and love you, bro. Thank you.
Go visit Jeff and Tracy's
Wheels for Meals.
Jeff and Tracy's
tour for Harvey Relief.
There it is. Bam.
Meals for Wheels.
Yeah. On Facebook, and hit the donate button. You can give $10. You can give $1,000. Anywhere in between. We'll take whatever you got. And you'll get a thank you along the way.
You can even put a share on thegoodlifebabe.com.
Oh, that's happening.
Scublet.
Yeah, we're going to do
Facebook
that.
Facebook page.
Yeah, for sure. All of that is happening.
We can facilitate. We don't want anybody to have to work too hard to find this.
Not only could we share it, we can boost it.
Should be a click and a swipe away. We should boost.
We can boost that post.
Get boosting.
Yeah, exactly. Get to boosting, Duville. All right, folks. It's thegoodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans. And I think this is going to be a one-parter.
I think so, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's a little bit tired. Joel's exhausted. He's walking with a cane.
So spent.
His doctor is going to be mad at him. His bandage fell off his foot.
I had to redress my own.
Yeah, redressed, if that's what you want to call it.
And
his foot looks like the Elephant Man's head before he got rescued.
Jeez.
The way that it's wrapped right now.
No, I did a good job.
Oh my god! It looks like one of your toes has been amputated, man. Just keep that thing down there, okay? For crying out loud, I don't want to see that. All right.
The horrible wrapping.
That was. I know.
And I had a meeting with a really important client today.
You need to get to the doctor. Like
it looks like Boris Karloff, dude.
Okay. Yeah. It's freakish.
Sweet.
All right. All right, folks.
And on that note,
it's a good life, babe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans. We'll catch you on the flip side. We got an episode coming up on Wednesday, and then Tracy and I will be out on the Natchez Trace next week on Monday, and you'll hear from us then. See you next time.
Yeah, you're right.